In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Always a sure sign that something terrible is about to be said. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but if you're sitting here in church on a Sunday morning in mid-October, you're probably more like a Pharisee than a tax collector. This is not an insult. I really mean it. I'm not talking about this particular Pharisee or this particular tax collector. I'm not saying you're likely to be prideful or arrogant. It's just that you're probably exactly the kind of person that a Pharisee in general would be. Pharisees are one of the most misunderstood groups of people in the Bible. They've gotten a very bad rap in Christianity. In some circles, Pharisee has become a synonym for someone who's self-righteous, hypocritical, judgmental, like the Pharisees in so many of the stories Jesus tells. But in fact, that's completely missing the point of what Jesus is saying. There's nothing wrong with Pharisees in and of themselves. They were a movement of religious reformers, a group calling people to return to a genuine and a heartfelt and a careful practice of their religion. For the most part, they were the salt of the earth people of their society, craftspeople and workers trying to live holy lives in accordance with God's commandments. While the aristocratic Sadducees were more concerned with the intricacies of temple worship and priestly ritual, the Pharisees focused their attention on personal religious study and life at home, trying to live as holy a life in their own homes and at their own tables as they would in the temple and at the altar there. Pharisee wasn't a dirty word for Jesus or his contemporaries. It was the name of a genuinely popular and quite beautiful religious movement. So Jesus uses Pharisees in his story, not because they were notoriously bad, but because they were notoriously good. The tax collector, on the other hand, was genuinely a troubling figure. The tax collector was not like a pencil pusher in the IRS or the Department of Revenue today, but like a mobster, a collaborator with an occupying army. His job was to extract wealth from his own people to ship it overseas to support the Roman Empire, not to provide social services to the poor in his own community or something. When you hear tax collector, don't think IRS, think Sheriff of Nottingham. This is what this character is, okay? So when it's the tax collector and not the Pharisee who goes down to his home justified, we're supposed to be surprised, because it's the Pharisee and not the tax collector who's an upstanding and a generally ethical citizen of his society. This is why I say that we're all probably more like the Pharisee than the tax collector. I hope you now see that that's not an insult, but a compliment. We are more likely to be upstanding, conscientious, respectable people who've taken an hour out of our weeks to be here together, right? To practice this religious devotion that we think is important to us. Okay, now that I've complimented you, I have to admit that some of us sometimes are also probably a little like the Pharisee in this particular story, right? Maybe you've never quite said these things in prayer exactly, certainly not standing in the temple, but I suspect some of you have had the occasional thought, as I have, thank God that I'm not like other people. It's okay to admit it. Maybe it's about religious things, like the Pharisees' prayer. Thank God I'm not like those Sunday morning layabouts and those Christmas and Easter Christians. I do my part to support the church. I come here twice a week or twice a month. I give, and here, I'm sorry, I have to beg our stewardship chair's forgiveness. I give a tenth of all my income. Thank God that I'm not like other people. Or maybe for you, the religious one is a little different. Thank God I'm not like other Christians. Thank God we're not like other churches. Maybe it's about family things. Thank God I'm not like my brother, my father, my mother, my housemate, my spouse. Thank God I care for the people in my family. Thank God I raised my children right. Thank God I am the only one in the house who even knows where the toilet brush is. Thank God I'm not like other people. Thank God I'm not like my coworkers, or we'd never get anything done. Thank God I'm not like my teammates who've been slacking off in practice all season. Thank God I'm not like that person next to me on the airplane who is dressed in a head-to-toe leopard print sweatsuit. Thank God I am not like other people. And it's tempting, right, to take this parable of Jesus and run with it, to say, don't be like the Pharisee, be like the tax collector. Don't puff yourself up for your own piety or your own achievements or your own goodness. Don't put other people down because they're not as good as you. But in a funny way, our very desire not to be like the Pharisee turns our words into a paraphrase yet again of the Pharisee's prayer. Thank God that we're not like that Pharisee who proudly boasts of his own achievements and spends his time judging other people. It's surprising how easy it is to exalt yourself for how humble you are. So I want to ask a question instead, which is this. Who do you think the Pharisee is trying to convince with this prayer? The Pharisee is good, and the Pharisee is imperfect, like all of us. God knows that he is good and that he is imperfect. But it seems like the Pharisee has a really hard time accepting his own goodness, and he certainly has a hard time admitting his own imperfection. He can only prove that he is good, it seems, by repeating over and over and over again that he is better than someone else. And if his goodness is defined by someone else's badness, then he can't admit that there's any imperfection in it, or he becomes like them. And you can feel his spiritual muscles straining as he tries to hold these two things apart, to keep himself as separate from anyone else as he can, to prove to himself that he is good, and to hide from God that he's imperfect too. That's what's so refreshing about the tax collector's prayer. He's not the good guy of the story in any sense. He knows his work is wrong. He knows the life he's living is not as just or as ethical as it could be. The only thing he's got going for him is self-knowledge, knowledge of exactly how imperfect he is. And that self-knowledge, if nothing else, has freed him from the Pharisee's anxiety of self, of comparison, of measuring his own value in relation to anyone else. And there's this strange way in which it's the tax collector who goes home justified, as if God accepts, at least for now, that the Pharisee recognizes his imperfection, and that that at least is something that God can work with, instead of being pushed out of the picture entirely. So what about you? You are, I assume, like the Pharisee, like most human beings, good and imperfect. What would it feel like to know that you are good as yourself without having to be better than anybody else? What would it feel like if you had to prove that you were in fact better than someone else and that was what mattered? What does it feel like to know that God will love you however imperfect you are? And that knowledge of your own imperfections can actually free you from anxiety, from the anxiety of perfection. What would it mean for you to know that while God wants you to be good, more than anything, God wants you to be free from that need to rely on anyone else for your own value, for your own worth, so that you too can go home justified, not by your own achievements, not by being better than anyone else, but by God's eternal and unconditional love for you. What would that mean for you today? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.